In the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I've been hanging out with the Lord in Mark chapter 11 for the last couple of weeks. And this is the Tuesday event, one of the Tuesday events of Holy Week. Remember again that Jesus' real priority with the disciples was to disciple them, was to train them, to teach them to live by faith. He stewarded the life of the Father in him by faith. And he knew that at Pentecost, he would come live in them by the Holy Spirit, just as the Father lived in him by the Holy Spirit. And they would need to steward his life by faith, just as he had. And so he's always doing two things at one time in ministering to people. He's revealing the life of the Father. He's showing people the Father. And he's transforming people's lives, while at the same time training those who were going to become his body and continue the proclamation and advancing of the kingdom. And so even though in Holy Week, we focus big time on just what's going to be going on Monday, Thursday, and Friday, and Sunday, Jesus was still doing every day what he always did, changing people's lives, revealing the likeness of the Father, and training his disciples. When Jesus came into Jerusalem in the triumphal entry, if you remember, it says in verse 11 that he entered Jerusalem and came into the temple, and after looking around, he departed from Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. And on the next day, when he had departed from Bethany, he became hungry. And seeing at a distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he found it, he found nothing but leaves, and for it was not in season for figs. And he answered and said to it, as if the fig tree could speak. But he responded to the fig tree not producing any figs, and he says, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. He spoke to the fig tree, and his disciples were listening. That was the point. He wanted them to listen. Don't feel bad for the fig tree. It was a fig tree, all right? I remember when I first moved here, being from Birmingham, I didn't know anybody who hunted, and I wanted to learn how to hunt. And when I learned how to go deer hunting, which I haven't done for years, and people used to say to me, how can you shoot that deer? Doesn't it remind you of Bambi? Like poor Bambi. And I go, well, every time I kill a rat or mouse in my house, I don't go poor Mickey. So no, it's a deer. Bambi wasn't real. This is a fig tree. And this the next day, as they go and Jesus goes again in Jerusalem, he cleanses the temple. He's leaving. They're going back to Bethany. Verse 19, it says, when evening had come, they go out of the city, go back to Bethany. They come across a fig tree again, and his disciples say, Lord, the fig tree that you cursed, look, it's withered up and died. And that's when Jesus answered, saying, and the language here, so I'm going to draw your attention to a little grammar today because it's important, because words have grammar. He says, he was saying to them repeatedly, have faith in God. And the language here is have God's faith. That's the grammar, have God's faith. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. And therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray or desire and ask, believe that you've received them, and they shall be granted you. Let me read this next verse. And whenever you stand praying, forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your heavenly Father, so your Father also is in heaven, may forgive you your transgressions. Now remember how Jesus dealt with the fig tree. He spoke to the fig tree, and the fig tree responded. But always foundationally, remember this. Jesus didn't just walk along, get ticked off at a fig tree, and decide to blast it. Jesus only did those things he saw the Father doing, and he only said those things he heard the Father saying. See, it doesn't do any good for you to be in union with someone else if you're not surrendered to that person's will. You and I are in union with Christ, but if we're not surrendered to that, then we can't really know what he's up to. Because Jesus' meat was to always do the will of the Father. He knew what the Father was up to. And so the Father is the one who said he saw the Father's activity, and he cursed the fig tree in response to the Father. So when you get to these verses about saying and believing, It's not just that you can say and get what you want. You can only respond to what he wants. That's the model of Christ. You with me? That's the protection to making these verses wacky. But it's also important that we don't avoid these verses because they give us a real childlike insight into what faith is like. And often people will take verses like this and say you can have whatever you want. You want a Cadillac, just say it, you can have it. And we know how crazy that is. So we run from it and ignore verses like this and don't get what Jesus is trying to say. He's given them an example. Now he's speaking to their lives. So let me give you the little grammar thing that I think is really important. Jesus said, have the faith of God, or have God's faith. You know, and don't have time to do all this, develop all this, so you just have to trust me or look it up on your own, is the way the Godhead operates, like the creation of the world and man. The Father thinks it, the Son speaks it, the Word speaks it, and the Holy Spirit makes it come to pass. It's the way it always functions. That gives you an insight into what faith is. Jesus thinks it. I see what he wants. I speak it in union with him. And the Holy Spirit manifests it, makes it come to pass. That's the anatomy of faith. It's not a formula. Christianity is not a formula. But that is the anatomy of faith. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore also we speak. There is a dynamic of speaking that is a manifestation of faith that's in cooperation with the faith of God. Now, you said, but what if there's nobody around? It's not about speaking to people. It's about speaking. You do understand that you live before an audience of one, but much more than that. All the angels, all the demonic spirits, they all know what you're doing and saying. Even if I speak to myself, often David said, oh, my soul. He spoke to his own soul. There's a place, faith without action is dead, and something about speaking, even if it's just into the air, to myself, that releases the Holy Spirit. Jesus bore witness of what he saw and heard, and the Holy Spirit was released without measure, according to John chapter 3. But it's interesting the way he says this. He says, truly, truly. So I'm going to break it down grammatically without getting too goofy with the details. So I'm going to say it to you the way it's written. Truly, I say to you, whoever affirmatively says to this mountain, be taken up by God. It's in the passive. And be cast into the sea by God. And does not allow doubt to have a place in their heart, but affirmatively believes, and what he is saying is happening. And affirmatively believes that what he is saying is happening. Not will happen. It shall be granted to him. Faith, again, doesn't believe that he can, doesn't hope that he will, but trusts that he is. If I have the mind of Christ about a situation, what I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth, what I'm saying, I believe I have. I may not see it yet in the natural, but I have it. Those of you who got to come to the prayer conference, you heard we said, faith always receives things twice. First in the spiritual, and then secondly in the natural. First in your heart, and then in your hand. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. If you don't have substance, if you don't believe you have it, then you don't have faith. You may not see it yet in the natural, but you see it in the spiritual. I love that. Doesn't entertain doubt in his heart, but believes that what he is saying is happening. It shall be granted to you. And therefore I say to you, here's the grammar again, all things that you desire, now it's how to be in union with him, right? The ones who delight in the Lord, he'll give them the desires of their heart, but you delight in him and his will first. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you desire or desiring and you're praying or asking for and you're believing that you're receiving them, they shall be granted to them. I just think that's awesome. And then he goes on, he says, but here's the dynamic. It's not perfection God's working for, but God is looking for a pure heart. It's not that you can just run around and live life any way you want to. You have to live out your union with him. Whenever you stand praying, you better be continually forgiving if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father's in heaven may also be forgiving your transgressions. In other words, that'll block it. Tolerating impurity, particularly unforgiveness, which is the biggest thing we all deal with because we live around other human beings just like us, right? It's a shame they aren't all as perfect as we are. But you do understand they say the same thing about you, right? But this is kind of like those verses in Upper Room Discourse, where five different times he said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. Now, the key is in his name, out of union with him, his will. And he says in one of those verses, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask anything, it shall be given to you. That just causes my imagination to soar. It makes me want to know the mind of Christ in everything. It makes me want to be so yielded to him that I have his mind about every situation so that I can believe that what I speak, I can see what he sees and I can say what he's saying. That's the faith of God. And I can believe I have it before I ever see it. And God said, it's in that context that the Holy Spirit will manifest it in the natural. Okay?